You know, I kind of gave this a title, just what's going on. You know, there's been a lot going on. It's like every day we wake up and we're like, what the heck? I mean, now we're into stuff that is so crazy that even the coronavirus isn't even getting the first coverage. We have all this other stuff happening, and it's almost as if people have completely forgotten about the coronavirus, or to a degree. And, you know, but the thing is that my job as a pastor is always help guide the sheep into the place of God's blessing and the place where God would have them. And it's become aware to, you know, it's very clear to me that people are feeling lost. There's a lack of peace. There's unrest. And of course we see that in the world. And, you know, and so I believe that the Lord would have me to, you know, at least with our people, would have me to, you know, to speak about that and to kind of help us. There's lots that the Bible says about it scripturally, a lot of which we've been into. So some of the things, you know, are going to be things out of what I've been preaching on, but these are just things that the Lord had me compile for this time to help us. And so the first thing I want to address is that there's a lot of opinions out there. There's a lot of opinions on different things. There's a lot of opinions politically. You know, we've talked before about things like this. You know, there's a lot of opinions about, you know, these riots. Should they happen? Shouldn't they happen? All this stuff. And it's not protesting. And there's opinions about protesting, all that stuff. But we have to remember one thing in the midst of everything. And no matter what's going on, we cannot allow, as Christians, we cannot allow division over ideas. We have to allow ourselves to be united in Christ. We might not always agree on everything. There may be things that I view that you won't view. There might be things as a man that I'll view that you women won't view the same way. And that's not necessarily wrong. There's just different points of view, but we can't allow differences of opinion or our own ideas. We can't allow them to identify us. We have to be identified in Christ, because with Christ, there's always common ground. In our opinions, there won't be. In our desires, there won't be. You know, the way we look at the world, the way we view the world, will not be the same as the way other people view it, and it won't be the way as each other view it, you know, just whatever. So we have to just remember that in the midst of all this, that we can't allow our opinions to be directing us. I'm not saying it's wrong to have opinions, but I'm just saying that we have to make sure that we're right. And the scripture that the Lord would have me start with is found in Matthew 24:12. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there real quick. If not, you can just listen. Praise God. Matthew 24:12. And this is, you know, this is found right in the midst of when Jesus was talking to the disciples about the signs of the end times and what was gonna come. But this has kind of just been playing over and over in my spirit for the last few days, in some form. And some of you on Sunday may have even heard me say it in the parking lot. But Matthew 24:12, it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And that's exactly what we see here. When we look at these riots and stuff, it's lawlessness. It's complete chaos. There's no order to it. And, you know, not that a protest is wrong, but I think most people would agree that the destruction of just everything around you is not, especially when it doesn't belong to you, is not a good thing. And the Bible points to it. Jesus pointed to it here. He said, because the lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. And so what we see happening is we see people getting mad at other people because they see people acting out. They see people acting lawless. And then they you know, as they see people acting lawless, it's stirring them up to just start almost like hating. And then there's people from the other side now that are starting to hate. And then it's just kind of, it's feeding off of one another. And so we see this lawlessness abound. And, you know, the Lord put it to me this way when I was preparing this and when I was meditating on the scripture, that, you know, Satan is an equal opportunity hater. Of course, we never condone hating of anybody for race or gender or really for any reason. There's never a reason to hate anybody. In fact, Jesus said to love your enemies. And so even if we think about, you know, it's easy to say just love your enemies, but really when he said love your enemies, he's like saying love those who you don't want to love at all. Like there's no good feeling in you. There's no, you know, anything. Satan is an equal opportunity hater. He will try to get his hate infused into everything. He'll try to cause division as much as he can, because as he does that, what he does is he increases that lawlessness. Now, of course, lawlessness, you know, we can look at the law of the land, but also the law of God, and the law of God is love. And so as the people don't follow the law of love, what's happening is that the love of many is getting colder. So it kind of is like a virus or a cancer that just keeps feeding and feeding and feeding off of itself. And so we've gotten to a place, you know, where obviously there's awful things that have happened to, you know, people of color. There's awful things that have happened to different races throughout the generations. But this is the thing that we have to remember about it, because every, you know, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, systemic racism and stuff like that. And I don't know enough to say whether or not, you know, and it just depends on what people are talking about. But I can say this: every nation in history, it doesn't matter what country it is, every nation in history has oppressed people. Every nation in history has had slaves. Every nation in history has done evil in the name of greed and, you know, under the guise of doing what they want to do. And so this isn't an American problem. This is a human problem. This is a human issue. And what it really is it's Satan getting into the flow of things. You know, this country, whether people agree with a lot of things we do or not, is besides the point. The truth of the matter is the underlying reason that we have this country is because God ordained it. Now, God, that doesn't mean that God ordained every little thing that people have done, and not everything people have done in the name of the United States has been godly, but God has ordained this country to be here. And how do we know this? We know this because of the number one, the intense freedoms, like just these protests and stuff. You know, in a place like Iran, these things wouldn't happen. A place in North Korea, like in North Korea, these things wouldn't even be happening. This country, the rights in this country have enabled us to enable people to do things sometimes that are completely not even right, but it's enabled them because that open door has been there. And the most progress that the world has ever known has come through this country. The freedoms that we, you know, the fact that we can come together in a church and not be oppressed because of what we believe, that can be completely different. And sometimes, you know, in the name of religion, there's people that do awful things. You know, many of us remember about the Jonestown Massacre in the 70s and stuff like that, you know, and there's things like that in the name of God, in the name of religion, that wasn't right. But that doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater and all things are bad. But we do know that Satan is always trying to infiltrate whatever is good. And that's exactly what he's done here. You know, I said recently, you know, one of the things that was eye-opening to me about the coronavirus was when I saw all of a sudden it went from being something everybody's concerned about to being something that's directly divided along political lines. And if you can divide something so sharply along an ideology, there's something wrong with it, especially when either ideology is not based in truth, but it's based in the opinions and the divisions of man. And so we need to keep these things in the forefront of our mind and not be taken away, because when some of the scriptures I'm about to get into, you know, the Lord warns us about this, that the devil is trying to deceive the elect. He's trying to suck us into all the garbage that is out there in the world. And if we allow ourselves, if we're not wise, we will. Now, I want to share with you Romans 16. I'm trying to do this quickly, but there was quite a bit of revelation. And so I understand if anybody can't stay, you know, if you're on lunch break or something, but if you can, you know, I believe you'll be blessed by it. But Romans 16, starting in verse 17, Paul told the Romans, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses." Yeah. So he said, make a note of those who cause divisions and offenses. Brothers and sisters, one of the first things that I can point to is politics. Regardless of whether you're a Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, whatever you call yourself, it doesn't matter. one thing that we can all agree on is that they cause divisions, praise the Lord, and offenses. That's one thing, and we know this. I don't care who you side with or who you listen to on either side of the aisle. There's extremes. There are people that are good, and there are people that are wrong. There are people there on both sides or all sides that have the right heart, and then there are those that have a bad heart, that greed. And so we know that. But it says to note those. In other words, make a note and make a mental note of those and check it off. You know, these are people that cause divisions. When news agencies, dear Jesus, I don't care what news agency you listen to. If you think that any news agency does not have some kind of agenda, you are probably the most deceived. I don't care what news agency it is. I'm calling them all out. One that I listen to often, because it's more in line often with the things that I believe and understand, I see the bias in them all the time. And so, you know, just with that, we can't just put our eggs in those baskets. We can't look at those and say, well, these are the sources of truth. The sources of truth is not humanity. The source of truth is the Word of God. The source of truth is the things that the Holy Spirit has put down. Amen. That's why we have to allow those things to bring us back. Excuse me. So note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Woo! Avoid them. Verse 18, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, when it comes to something that's evil, we need to not spend a lot of time on it. We need to sit, what do I mean by that? What does that look like? Well, turn on any news station right now, and what are you going to see? Riots here, and riots there, and riots here, and riots there, and this person did this, and that person did that. Dude, we don't need to be wise. Okay, it's good to know what's going on, but we don't need to sit there and meditate on this stuff all day long. We don't need to make this the object of every conversation we get into. We don't need to make this the focus of our time when we're with our family and stuff like this, talking about all these things. It says be simple concerning those things. Be wise according to what's good. In other words, talk about the Lord. Talk about the goodness of God. You know, when people are out there shouting about this and that, you know, but here's the answer, folks. My God is so good. He loves us so much. He protects us. He watches over us. He wants to help you too. I mean, just start there. That's a good place. You know, verse 20, and it goes on to say, I want to get to this. It says, and the peace of God will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So we know this, that the peace of God will crush Satan.
Yes.
Under our feet, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. But what if God's people aren't in peace?
Right.
What if we're in the chaos with the midst, with the rest of them? What if we're down there shouting and protesting and all these things? You know, I believe in the concept of Black Lives Matter. I know that people get offended if you say all lives matter and stuff like that. I do believe that as well. I don't believe that there is a situation. I believe that this was a situation of injustice, but even in injustice does not give us the right to sit there and start taking up a cause against that injustice. Our only cause is for Christ. And when we follow Christ, when we follow the peace of God crushes Satan. It's not going to be our mouths, our displeasure with so-and-so, our hatred towards somebody else, our hatred even towards the haters. That's not going to do any good. That's why even as a pastor, sometimes, you know, we talked about when we had people come against the church, it was in my flesh, I wanted to reach out and touch somebody, praise the Lord. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that, just like I've been preaching, the wrath of man or the natural disposition of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I won't help that person. I will never help those people. If all I want to do is attack them. And we have to understand that first and foremost as Christians, if we're going to change something, it's not going to be by our opinions. If we're going to change something, it's not going to be by how loud we can shout. We're going to change it by the peace of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. glory to God. And so, like I was saying before, you know, all nations have enslaved people. All nations have oppressed people. But it's the U.S., the United States of America, that has offered the most freedom, and it's done so by the direction of God. It's because it's a place where God can still flow, because even if there's these evil things that happen, we still have freedom. Amen? The Christians that are speaking the truth, we're preaching the word, we still have the right to do that.
Right.
And even if everything else is bad, that's a good thing, and that's a light in a dark place. And that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the truth. You know, I was thinking about this. I can't understand everything that somebody who is oppressed or has been oppressed, you know, I don't believe that every policeman out there is bad. I believe that there's a lot of good ones. But I myself have experienced police officers that are not righteous. I have experienced police officers that are not good. And I can just say this, that as a person of color, a black person, a Puerto Rican person, doesn't matter. If you were to get pulled over, even if you were doing anything wrong, there is a narrative that's been set that's kind of put it, ingrained it in you to automatically feel fear. And so, even if it's right or not, even if it's justified or not, that's there. And so we can't just negate everything and say, well, you should just do this or just do that. That's not what we're called to do. What we're called to do is to teach people on how to trust God. Because I'll tell you this, any black person who trusts God, God will come through for them. Any Puerto Rican person, any person of color, any person, any white person who trusts God, God will come through for them. God will always come through for those who trust in him, always. And it doesn't matter what, and that's the equalizer. The equalizer isn't rights. It's not the ability to speak. The equalizer is the word of God.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is we need to encourage Christ. We need to lift up Christ. We need to magnify Christ. I identify with Christ, and if I continue in that, I will always stay right. I'll never be in the wrong. I'll never be on the wrong side of the argument. I'll never be on the wrong side of the debate. I'll never be on the wrong side politically, non-politically. I will always be right if I stay with Christ, if I identify with Christ. Now, I want to take you somewhere we were this weekend. Go to Jude 1:16. And I felt that this was good to revisit this place. You know, remember, in some of this, we're talking about signs of the end time. So we see these things happening. Notice the theme in what's going on. The theme is that there's apostates, that there's people who are divisive. There's people who are doing wrong things or acting lawlessly. I mean, in all these scriptures, you're going to see that theme. In Jude 1:16. You know, this section in my scripture says apostates predicted, and really apostate is just somebody who has renounced a religious belief. It could be a political belief too, but obviously for what the Bible's talking about, it's those who have renounced their faith. It's those who go, and what do I mean by renounce their faith? It's those who go against, the faith that was taught to them. And so we can renounce our faith just simply by acting out of line of the faith. If we start doing things that aren't in line with our faith, we're renouncing it to a degree. And so we can become apostate that way. And that's how people do. Just remember, apostates are not people that come from the outside in. They're people that were on the inside and they go out. And so this is what a lot of people forget. When the Bible talks about apostates, these were brothers and sisters that were inside, that were getting the word of God, that were getting the truth. They had the truth, because if they didn't have the truth, they would have never been able to leave the truth. You can't leave something if you've never been there. Amen. I've never been to Spain. Anybody remember that song? Praise the Lord. I've never been to Spain. So I can never leave Spain because I've never been there. And so the same thing is with the faith. Nobody can leave the faith unless they've been in the faith. And what I mean by this is somebody who has been a believer, not just somebody who has been there, all showed up to church, because they're not somebody who has been in the faith. You know, I can look at Spain and still not go in it and still have never been there. I have to go in and be part of that or be there in order to leave from that. And so an apostate is the same thing. There are many apostates in the church. People have come in and sat and broke bread and tithed and gave and served in the local church. That's what Judas did. Judas was an apostate, and he healed people by laying on of hands. I mean, you think about that, and yet he left the faith. But so here, this tells us what apostates are. Verse 16, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Now, grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. That's a big thing. That's a big, big thing. The desire of the flesh, the lust is in your heart. Lust is something we all deal with at some level. It can be a lust for anything, but walking according to your own lusts. People who constantly and consistently walk according to their ideals and don't conform to Christ become apostate. Yes. They walk away from Christ. They deny the faith because they won't release what they hold on to. One of the greatest things that we have is this ability that no matter where we come from, that God has made us one in Christ Jesus. And so no matter what our background is, when we come forward, we have common ground. We always have a place, a platform to launch from. Amen? And so these are just some more signs of them. And it goes on, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be what? Mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Christians who take a political soapbox or a causative soapbox are walking according to their own ungodly lusts. And there are many ministers that do the same thing. There have surely been times where I've done this, where I've, maybe said something that was more my input than it was God's input. These things can happen. But we need to be careful of that. And these are just signs. These are just warning signs. Look for these things. And so if you see these things, even in yourself, just say, you know what? That's an area I can correct. Amen. It goes on. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. So anything that is divisive or causes divisions, again, we see that word divisions there. Anything that is divisive is not God. If it's divisive in a marriage, it's not God. And therefore, there's no Spirit, no God Spirit with it. If it's divisive in a home, it's not God. If it's divisive politically, it's not God. If it's divisive, listen, we talked even about our president. There's times where our president, I think he's done a lot of things in line with direction of God. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's done a lot of things that aren't good too. He said things that aren't good. There's going to be, first of all, we have to understand this. There is no political leader that you would also want as your pastor, because your pastor would never be a political leader, and any political leader would never make a good pastor. Just saying. So if we keep those things in mind, we understand that they're not the ones that are supposed to follow. They can be used by God. You know, King Cyrus in the Old Testament was an ungodly man who was used by God to bless the people of God. And that's the key that we have to understand. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to do everything right morally, but what decisions are they making? I'm just telling you that there are some things that have been done on both sides of the political aisle to try to both hinder and to loose the church into what it's supposed to do. We're obviously following God and how we take the steps to do so, but it does matter that it's better to not be oppressed in these areas than it is to be oppressed. I would much rather be able to preach unoppressed than I would oppressed, because there's no fun in oppression. I think we can understand that. And so again, I'm not trying to take a political soapbox. It truly is not that at all. We just aren't supposed to be divisive. When we note something that's divisive, we separate ourselves from it.
Yeah.
What is going on? If you don't understand what's going on in this, there is a divide, because this is getting to the heart of people, and there is a divide that is happening even in the body of Christ, trying to separate Christians of color and Christians of lighter color. I happen to be one of those people that just look at, we're all colored somehow, so you know it doesn't really matter. But I understand that there are people that have different views and strong views on it. But the whole purpose of it, remember, the purpose of all these things, even the riots, the devil is in the details. It's not God. It's evil, and what it's trying to do is cause division in the bodies of Christ, in the body of Christ. We cannot be divided against our black brothers and sisters. You know, some of you know Reverend Tony and Reverend Vanessa from the Jamestown Church. You know, I call Reverend Tony, I refer to him as dad. He refers to me as son. We've kind of bonded in this relationship. You know, it would be really hard to do so if he looked at me and said, well, you know what? You ain't black, so you ain't my son. And if I looked at him and said, well, you ain't white, you're not my dad. But we both get benefit out of our relationship because it's not based in even an understand full understanding of each other, but it's based in the understanding in our relationship in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, these are just things that hopefully that will help you. I got just a few more scriptures here. I'll go through them fairly quickly just because I want to point to this again, just to show you that it's not just in one place, but it's all over. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And again, some of these scriptures we've been into, so I don't really think that I need to teach on them, but it just as a reminder of the things of what the Bible is saying, amen? So 2 Timothy 3, and starting verse 1, we're going to read through 4, it says, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Kind of seems like that's upon us, doesn't it? Perilous times are coming, praise the Lord, for men will be lovers of themselves. And that's what this is. When somebody breaks into somebody else's place of business, because we all see this too, you know, the riots aren't just caused by minorities, and it's not just affecting white people. The riots are affecting minority businesses. They're affecting everybody. In fact, we just know this, just the cost that it can cost us all will be huge. You know, people talk about more taxes or less taxes. Well, we're going to get taxed on this. We'll get taxed when we go buy stuff because that's what thieving does. But that's what lovers of themselves do. They don't care about anyone else. I want this, so I'm going to go take it. There's a lot of things that we can give up just because we do it for the greater good. Amen. Perilous times will come for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. That's what that is too. That's a lover of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, that's a huge one, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I just encourage you, when you watch the news or whatever else, put it against these scriptures. See what, and say, oh, where do I see this in here? You're going to see it all over it, yeah. Because this is what's happening. And so again, this isn't to rebuke any of you or us and say, listen, you guys are terrible people. Cause I don't believe any of you guys are out there doing it. If you were out there, you know, rioting, well, stop, and get with God. But these things are happening, all around us. But we have to also remember the words of Jesus, when he was talking about the end times in the book of Mark, he said, be not troubled. When you see these things coming, don't be troubled. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus said that we have to focus on not being troubled. What is the troubling? Again, the troubling is, you know, being troubled by what's going on, being troubled. This happened again. I'm so mad. Being mad can be troubled. Being sad can be troubled. Being upset can be troubled. You know, troubling can manifest in many ways just because it doesn't manifest in fear, so to speak, but it could be fear in anything too. And so troubling, if we think of God at peace, as an even keel, calm waters. He leads us beside still waters, right? As the Psalm 23rd Psalm says, God says peace is like still waters. So if we follow God to still waters, what's troubling of the waters? We know in the troubling of the waters, when the angel came down, he came down and the waters started, you know what I mean? Troubling is just an upset of peace. You know, it's a shaking. Do you ever have that in your spirit? Just like, something in your spirit isn't right. That's God warning you. That's your spirit connecting to something, saying, well, something is wrong. That's how I was actually about restarting church. There was everything in me said, hey, we need to do this because you know, the president said we could and everything else. But there was just one thing in me that was, so I knew not to. And we will in the right time. But until then, we're going to just stay faithful. We're going to continue doing what we know to do. Amen. So we cannot be troubled. We have to remember James 1:20 says the righteous or the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That word wrath, again, is also translated the natural disposition of man. And so we know that the natural leanings of man does not produce righteousness of God, only the word of God does. And so I've said all that to say this, to get here. And I want you to turn with me to Philippians 4. So this is going to be the litmus test. This is going to be what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, when you don't know what to do, when all hell is breaking loose around you, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to get through it. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4:8. This is going to be the place you're going to go to. So with all that stuff being said, we have the signs of the end times. We know what's going to happen. If you can just make it this simple, there's going to be troubling. There's going to be divisions, which is just ultimately troubling. It all comes back down to troubling of the waters. Somebody is going to be trying to trouble the waters somewhere. The devil is trying to do it. We're just not going to let him. And this is how we get past it. Right here is we pit everything up against these scriptures right here. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, you meditate on these things. Again, meditation means to think upon them, to talk about them, to, you know, to the word meditate literally means to murmur or to mumble, to just have it on your breath, to have it in your thoughts, to keep it at the forefront of your mind, churn it over and over and over again. Praise the Lord. Meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. When will the God of peace be with you? When you've meditated on these things. And so I heard Brother Hagin speak about this once, and he said it very graciously like this. He said, something may be true, but it's not praiseworthy.
Yeah.
And so if it's true, but not, it's true that there's riots going on. I'm not saying you can't know that there's riots going on, but you ain't going to meditate on it. Because if you meditate on it, it's not praiseworthy. What's praiseworthy? Well, the word of God is praiseworthy. The promises of God are praiseworthy. The blood of Jesus that sets us all free, that always leads us in triumph. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's praiseworthy. And so that's what we're going to meditate on. When something goes wrong in your life, maybe it's something, maybe you're, you know, Carrie, I know you've dealt with this before. You know, you either come home or whatever to find pipes broken, frozen, not working, never working again. You know, things, roofs, and other people I know we have as well. I remember one time we had to miss a meeting because we couldn't shower because I had to tear the entire plumbing system apart in our house. How do we deal with these things? We meditate on what's good, what's praiseworthy, of good report. You know, it says that. It says something may be true, but it's not noble. Something may be true, but it's not a good report. And so it's not that you can't know it. The Bible isn't telling us to be ignorant. It's telling us to just not to meditate on those things. And so when we're dealing with those oppositions, whether it be a loss of a job, whether it be no income at all, we can always turn to praise. And if we learn to turn to praise, if we learn to get to that place where we meditate on the right things, it will always raise us up above and out of where we're at. And you know what will happen as Christians start rising above the crowd? You know, every now all the voices are down in this area, right? They're all ear level. But as Christians start rising above that, and with praise, because they're magnifying God, so they're going up. So as we start magnifying God and we start being exalted, what's going to be happening is others are going to start noticing something's going on up above them. So everybody's going to start noticing, wait a minute, it's loud down here, but man, what's going on up there? How many times have you ever looked at a hot air balloon and been mesmerized, thinking, man, it would be neat to be up there, or what the view that they have up there is, you know? It's kind of the same thing. As we rise up to where God is, as we rise up into his area, it'll draw more and more and more people. And the peace of God will crush Satan under the foot. I am not saying, again, that you shouldn't hate the fact that, you know, like a black man was killed by a police officer. It's terrible. It's tragic. Shouldn't happen. that anybody's killed at all ever, you know, murdered or killed prematurely or dies prematurely. It's a terrible thing. But I will say this, that there is a promise, and this is why we got to teach all people to follow God. Because when the Bible says that when we follow God, when we trust in the Lord, that we are protected.
Yeah.
Amen. And so I'm not making any character judgments against anybody. I'm not saying they should have done this. I'm saying this. When I see somebody die, the first thing I think, or I see something tragic happen, the first thing I think is this world needs God.
Yeah.
And if we can focus on that, if we can bring our focus to, you know what, let's be light to the world and not fuel for the fire. Let's be salt to the earth, not salt in the eyes.
Yeah.
And if we can do these things and be what we are, you know, salt is great on the taste, but it's terrible if you get it in the eyes. It's blinding. And so let's be the salt to the earth. Let's be that thing that, you know, encourages people.